We're talking the game joining Atari. VH1 Hip Hop Honors is back with Ladies Edition. And Glasses Malone is in studio. Stay tuned.
You are now tuned in to Black Hollywood Live. The beat.
I'm too high for you. What up, y'all? It's your boy DJ Jesse Jane here in studio for Black Hollywood Live's The Beat. You're listening to Glasses Malone, Two Hood, off Glass House 2. Life ain't nothing but what?
Sound good, though. I'm basically like one of the first, like, producing this song. So I just get to hear, like, it sound good. Like, if it was somebody else's song, I'd be like, damn, this song is good.
It was one of the first you recorded off this album?
Well, produced. Okay. Like, I did the music for a lot of this whole album.
Nice.
And this song got Game on it. Kirko. Ty was mad. He was supposed to sing the hook, but I had Kirko sing it. But the beat, I'm just listening to the music, so it's like,
yeah,
I get to hear the keys, you feel me? The bass is moving. The bass live. Shout out to Blunts. He was killing that bass. And Bear's playing the keys for me. And this key stroke is crazy, so it's just dope to appreciate the music like that.
I love that intro right there. That was so dope to just experience you getting to, like, appreciate your own work right there.
And then the mix, like, I mixed this song like 7 times because we couldn't get the whole song to line up. So when I hear the like the chords, you know, the pads, and we had to settle them down so the bass and everything could breathe. It's just crazy. It's tight.
So, yeah. Okay. Wait, well, first of all, Glasses Malone in studio,
right,
y'all.
Right.
Welcome and thank you for joining us.
Sorry.
That's
sorry.
All right. We're all creative people here. Sia Amoon joining us.
Your favorite girl.
And before we get into anything, serious note right here. Shout out to Queen. If you guys can please send her love, condolences.
Just
found out that her father passed away. So please keep her in your prayers. We miss you, Beau.
I love you.
Before we get into some of the topics, I want to build off what you just kind of talked about with the album. So producing, obviously, you know, going into the world of hip-hop, you know, a lot of people approach it differently. So some people approach it coming from, you know, I want to produce music, I want to make music, or, you know, I want to write, I want to rap, I want to, you know, there's different ways you can attack it. So for you personally, obviously, we've seen the MC. So is producing a huge passion within yours? Is this something that you've been playing with and tinkering with, or?
I think when I first got into it, it was all about producing, like an album.
Okay.
It always was producing for me. Trying to tell a story. You know, the first project I put out in 06, just telling a story. And opening it up, White Lightning with the movie intro, and closing it, and letting the movie skits tell what I wanted, you know, where I wanted you to go that I used at the time. So I've always kind of produced. MCing always was a distant second for me because I ain't really have a lot of songs where I just rap, you know what I'm saying? It was more where, like, I had to tell a story. So producing, I mean, whether it be a visual, like I produced Knock It Out the video, or Two Hood, the song with me and Game and Kirko, or a whole album like Glass House 2, where if you listen to it, to the whole idea, you know, that comes across for that summer, you know what I mean, the stuff I was going through, it's always been the same for me. So it's just doing what I do best. MCing always been second for me.
That's an interesting way to look at it, especially, you know, when you see, being, you know, a fan watching it, to hear that, it's just, to get, like I said, the intro to this show, hearing you and watching that, that's I'm appreciative to see you in that zone, because to see an artist kind of get that respect of, wow, this is dope, like, I created this, you know? I'm working on my own projects and I have those moments, so to see you do go through that.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, I might have produced ideas, but this one, I produced the music. So definitely to listen to Two Hood and it's being played, and just to, especially,
really,
I remember mixing
it,
that song 6 or 7 times, like, you know, the SSL, man, you pay $1,000 a day. So to spend $7,000 mixing a song, you know what I'm saying? Because Teddy Riley, you know, was driving me so crazy. Shout out to Teddy, who really helped me understand some stuff. But mixing it over and over again, it was like, just to try to get it to open up. And when it finally blossomed, just to hear it now, it's like, damn, it was worth it.
So was that a difficult task for you to kind of adjust your ear to hear?
Well,
like, as far as being in that producer's mode of it?
I mean, it's just a whole different set of knowledge you need to have. Like, the knowledge for it is different.
Absolutely.
You know, it's one thing composing a song. It's another thing composing the music to the song.
Mm-hmm.
So just to because that song was so much, you know, so much homage to Heavy D, you know what I mean, to hear his song and then to have to make my song compete with it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Or at least be honorable representation in 2016 was just a lot of work. So just trying to mix it at first like a funk record, you know, so I had the bass line too loud and it was just, it held the whole song down. It was too heavy. And then to go back and listen to the Heavy D song or to the Junior Mama Said, which is what Heavy D sampled, or Teddy Riley sampled, and then realize I just needed to drop the volume of the bass. I know I'm sorry I'm going tech, but
no, keep going.
To make it open up. And then I remember when I finally figured out what was wrong and I went to the studio and I dropped the volume of the bass line and then it just, the whole song blossomed like a flower. Mm-hmm. And it was like, yeah.
And that it's always something minor like that too.
Yeah, $7,000 minor.
Well, right.
Well, it's just so funny because, you know, we're always talking about in 2016, you know, we're in this age where you kind of have to be the full package. You kind of have to learn to do it yourself. C over here, she was like, well, shit, I'm going to freaking direct my own damn video. Hey, bought a camera. She taught herself how to edit. You know, I think we're in this world, and I love seeing that artists grow and being able to put these full projects together. And I'm actually, even kind of hearing that, more intrigued to see what your next project will be, because
too.
Now that your mind has opened from that aspect, to see lyrically and kind of what you're, where you'll take
where you
that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, last year I made a Mother's Day card. I just like producing ideas. It ain't music. I mean, we doing a short film next month, producing it.
Creative.
Yeah, anything, you know, whatever I can imagine, I just want to make it, you feel me, and see.
Yeah.
I don't try to do everybody's job. Like, I'm, like, no disrespect, I made that song with my partners, the Dream Team, and like I said, Bear was playing the keys, and Blunts came in and played the bass. Lester helped me mix it. You know, we all did the things together, but because when I initially started the idea and I had the vision, to see the vision from when we first started with the first bass line all the way to the mastering of, you know, mastering it three times just to get it where it should be, it's a journey. But you don't want to do other people's job. Like, I can play the bass. I learned how to play the bass, but I don't play the bass nearly as good as Blunt. So I just needed to play the bass to be able to have a conversation with him about what's going on.
To understand the sound. So you know that they're doing their job.
Makes us true artists.
Yeah.
I think definitely.
It's all speaking language to everybody. Mm-hmm. You got to speak everybody's language.
Let's talk a little bit about being an artist from the aspect of the Billboard Awards. Obviously, everyone's been talking about it all week. The Billboard Awards happen. What'd you say?
I was going to say Britney killed it.
Well, you know, they knocked her off some of her meds, and she did the best job I've seen her do in the past 6-7 years. So congratulations, girl. You did that. But I do have to say, honestly, out of all the performances, it probably was one of the most entertaining, which was crazy, because then following, I don't know, here's my thing. So the Prince tribute happened, and obviously that's... Someone said Madonna's a little upset because
people were making
focused more on Britney than her performance. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, girl, people were upset at the fact that you were doing the performance to begin with. So, you know, did you guys get a chance to check out the show?
I didn't watch the whole show, but I did get to, like, peep out some of the performances. Yeah.
Did you get a chance to?
Yeah, I wouldn't waste my time.
Bro, man.
Yeah, it's just so.
I mean, the two biggest rappers were, I mean, winners were, we had The Weeknd and Drake, best rap and best R&B, so. Shout out to y'all, you know what I mean? But apparently the BET Awards saw the Prince performance and was like, you know what?
Yeah.
We're going to do a better job. So hopefully But shout out to Stevie Wonder for coming out and helping Madonna with that. She needed that. Speaking of help, Atari asked the game for some help. So I don't know if you guys heard about this, but the Smithsonian Collection. Atari apparently has asked the game to be an ambassador for a new line of video games. And the first one, he posted a clip on his Instagram, is called Block Wars. If you want to find the release date out for that, you guys can follow @Atari on Instagram. He has a clip on his Instagram, Los Angeles Confidential. We're in this world where it's just like, you gotta, we were talking about Snapchat before, okay? So now, here we are. I mean, glasses, are we getting a video game?
Oh, man.
You're talking about these visuals.
Why not? I mean, if you... Man, I seen games Instagram with the game. I was like, and I seen people were mad. They was like, "Oh, game makes a street game member." What you thought he was gonna make?
Right,
like a math video game or something. It's like, But it looked tight to me.
Yeah. I mean, the graphics look good.
I would love to make a video game. I mean, you got to make everything. I mean, if you can.
Right.
You know, this world's life short.
Yeah, we see this thing like everyone's coming out with the emojis and, you know, they're just trying to find in this tech space right now. It's interesting. And then the other thing we're seeing, we had Spectacular in here from Pretty Ricky. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to hear the things he's talking about, you know, not even on some like a video game, but more of like app and business wise and how we can connect artists and things like that. So you really, you know, coming into this game, it's more about more than just the music. It's about, how am I going to brand myself? Do I want to brand myself? And then it gets to this question. As an artist, is there a point where, you know, you guys are artists, I don't know, but, you know, is there a point where you come to a decision where, you know what, I want to be an artist, but at the same time, I don't know if I want to sell myself on, you know, the whole video games, the whole emojis and stuff like that. Does that take away from artistry at a certain point?
I think that...
Or is it just different artists, different things for different artists?
I think that now we're just at a point where the music is just like the cherry on top. And everybody's just trying to figure out a way to make a living and capitalize as much as they can. And I think that's just where the business of it all comes in. And I think it's smart. I don't think it necessarily takes away from being an artist. But it can if you don't have the right people around you and the right team.
What you thinking?
I think that's why the music sucks. I mean, I just think it's second to everything else. And I mean, for me, it's always been music first.
When did you start to see, like, in this industry kind of move, shift from the music to... I mean, I don't really even know what we're in right now, like, to be
like
honest.
Like, fucking La La Land or something.
That's a great way to put that. La La Land.
Yeah, for real, that's what they used to tell you. I don't know. Like I said, I think, I don't know when it happened, but I realized I didn't know about certain, like, I would hear about certain artists, but I wouldn't know any of their songs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think.
Internet.
Yeah. I'm telling
like
you,
2006,
like
2006, 2007, I would say probably was like that big conscious shift of it.
Yeah,
like I didn't hear Travis Scott's song. I heard Travis Scott's name. Nicki Minaj actually is the first, and I was signed to Cash Money my whole career. But I remember when she first came to the label, I had never heard any songs
really.
But I was like reading all of this stuff about her opinion on subjects on All Hip Hop or Hip Hop DX, and I was like,
Who is
this lady? I mean, outside of this lady I met at the studio.
Right.
Yeah.
You feel me? But I was seeing her names, and that's when I realized Deborah and, you know, all the people that I was managing at the time, they were able to create these storms. And then it was happening in my backyard where it was certain artists that I was hearing about, and I never heard music from them.
Yeah.
But I knew who they were. I knew their names. And I was like, okay, yeah, this is the game's changes. You start getting those. What happened is, as the outside marketing companies came, the record companies market records. The outside marketing companies start marketing brands.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So a lot of these artists are so big, but their music is so minute.
Yeah.
It's so little. And I mean, personally, I'm not in that type of business. Mm-hmm. I got in this to make really great music.
Yep.
That's it. And I ain't really get in it. Like, if I wanted to make video games, I will, but I didn't. Like, it's not a byproduct for me. It's like, after I make the right songs, then I'll make a video game. I won't do reality shows. I keep getting offered, and I'm like, man, I don't even have a hit record in the top 40. Why would I do a reality show?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I still got a mission. I either got to produce one or have one.
It's you know, speaking of the reality shows, I mean, our sister site, AfterBuzz, I host the Love & Hip Hop After Show in there. So it always amazes me that we see certain faces on this specific show. And it what bothers me is that the show could be this platform to really get these people's music back out there. But instead of doing that, I feel, again, the music takes a backseat. We don't ever hear music coming off of the show. And it becomes more about what this person did. It, to me, has tainted a lot of artists' names and taken away from the talent. Moving on from that, though... Speaking of talent, Craig Mack made a little return. I don't know if you guys saw this, but apparently he has joined a new ministry called the Overcoming Ministry. And this verse came up. He joined the church and
South Carolina, so they can stay
freestyled.
Mad at me. If I stayed in New York, it's just another tragedy. So God cleaned me up, well, y'all are still raggedy. Sore as a cavity, depravity. You're facing calamity. Your ego on a high like we ain't got gravity. Your majesty, please forgive. This world gives you death, but I want to live. See, what you gonna do when God come? To me, the best song on the album. If you don't turn around, you know the outcome. Because hell's a place that you ain't never coming out from. When God come down before he change the ground, you better praise the Lord. It's all upside down before he turn it around, you better praise the Lord. When God come down before he touch the ground, you better praise the Lord.
Hey, you better praise the Lord. Craig Mack, y'all. So apparently he said the old Craig Mack is dead. He has been reborn. He has overcome his past, and he has joined this ministry. And, I mean, I'm interested to see where that takes him.
Still got it. Still sounds
okay.
Good. Craig is dope. Yeah. I remember being a kid hearing him on Flavor in Your Ear, man. Craig is nice. That was nice, too. Like, that was nice.
I'm saying that we might be able to start a whole new type of ministry up there. All right. Speaking of returning VH1 Hip Hop Honors, I don't know if you guys remember they used to do this show.
Mm-hmm.
So it hasn't been around since 2010. It got canceled. Yeah. But they're going to revamp it.
That's good.
And they're going to do the first one back towards the ladies of hip hop. So it'll all be focused on the women of hip hop. I'm excited to see what they can do.
Too.
Here's why I'm excited. I've put this out so many times. I don't know if you guys remember the show Divas VH1 used to do, how they would take like a Patti LaBelle, a Whitney Houston, like two mega houses, mix them together on stage, have them do a song that we all know. I want that to happen for the VH1 Hip Hop Honors.
Yeah.
Please, let me see Lil' Kim, Missy Elliott on stage again. Let me see Nicki Minaj with somebody. Like, do it. Make it happen.
Yeah,
bring these women together.
Dope.
No beef, no fighting. Just make it a beautiful situation. Let's honor these women. Thank you.
Yeah.
Anyways, moving on from that. All right, so Glasses, here's what we're going to do right now. I'm going to play these video clips for you. And I try to do my best to find artistic, lyrical, you know what I mean? Like, I ain't going to put junk on here. Sometimes, you know, if Queen, I want to, you know, spice it up a little bit. So we're going to play these clips up here. I want you to take a look, take a listen, and then give your authentic opinion. Let's take a look. The first one's 2088 Talk Show.
Welcome back to the very, very late night show. I'm your host like every night, LB, and right now we got two of the biggest stars in the world right now. I mean, we can't go anywhere without hearing their names. Now, you two usually keep it private, but you're about to open up and tell us how you're feeling.
See, I'm a real woman. A woman that doesn't need much, but appreciates a whole lot. And he always calls me crazy, but I'm not crazy. I'm from LA where the sun's always shining, so a lot of people are shady. But at least I got my baby.
Right?
Baby?
What's the difference between real love and fake love? The same difference between real truths and fake ones. You can feel the difference. And even though it changes over time and stays consistent, I ain't gonna lie though, it take persistence. But you the one I wanna be with when the ball drop. That's why I send for you like the call drop. Plus I know all your insecurities, and I don't mean like mall cops. I mean the type we all got. I'm never focused on my exes more than our execution. No time to be stressed or confusing.
2088 Talk Show. Big Sean, Janae, go. What you thinking of that?
Man, Big Sean is so underrated.
Yep.
I agree. I agree big time. He's so
whoever
dope.
Produced that, man, that's just crazy.
Yeah.
I don't even, you know, that dude, man, that nigga's, he's good.
He's hard.
It's so funny. I just saw a tweet the other day. Someone had tweeted, if Big Sean's in your top something rappers of 2016, you need to reevaluate hip hop. And I was like,
yeah,
who are you listening to?
Big Sean is top five today.
Yeah,
thank you.
So too.
There's only three other MCs that I think that I would even think to put
to
in front of
to.
Him. And pound for pound, he's competitive.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
Dude, and that song, that beat is.
And not only that, but like even the visual that went with it, like from the costuming to like the filter on the camera, like that.
They really did their thing.
Yeah, I'm here for that. I was listening, man. Just,
oh, yeah.
Man, that bass is crazy.
All right, next we got Alicia Keys. She's back with her new hit, In Common, has this little soul reggaeton vibe. It gives me a little Nick and
Navi-esque. Okay,
let's take a look.
Check it out. I'm happy then.
Said I'd be gone by 5. But It's sunrise and I'm still in your bed. Good night, you sleep means goodbye. Me replaying memories in my head. Look at you, look at you, look what you made me do. How do you figure my every move? Who are you, who are you? You look so familiar. I know you, baby, I know the truth. We got way too much in common. If I'm being honest with you, we got way too much in common. Since I'm being honest with you, who wants to love somebody like me? You wanna love somebody like me? If you could love somebody like me, you must be messed up too. Who wants to love somebody like me? You wanna love somebody like me?
Alicia Keys, yeah. In Common. What
that
are you thinking of that?
That was my first time hearing that.
Really?
I love it, actually.
Yeah, I never heard that name. It's definitely a smash record. Yeah. Video was cool, I mean.
Have you heard the sound? Like, I'm hearing the sound. Like,
yeah, they are. Everybody is on dancehall. Like, yeah. Drake's no.
Yeah.
It's too much damn dancehall for me. But that song is tough.
It works.
I mean, Alicia Keys is dope. Right. I mean, Drake's stuff is dope. I'm just.
Yeah.
I like it a little bit more authentic, but that's just me.
Okay.
But
no,
that song is going to be a really big song.
Yeah, it is.
It's a good song.
It's funny
it's
you say that.
It's still my vibe.
Yep. It's like Controller on I can't with that song.
And
like,
it's dope.
One Dance is dope, but then when you give me Controller, it's like, okay.
The same thing. One Dance, Controller's like, Drake is, I just was talking to my A&R, Mitro, about this. Controller and One Dance is dope, but it's like, it got to come to a place of authenticity eventually. Mm. Drake is so, like, can cover everything, and it's like, I mean, his last album was a trap album. Album before that was like East Coast hip hop, and it's like he's so good, he's so talented, and it's like I just can't really. I like authenticity more than I like just execution.
Okay,
I would rather hear somebody who really maybe I don't understand every word, but it's real, versus hearing somebody who can execute really great, but it doesn't feel like it has the soul to it.
So. Definitely can understand that right there. Well, then that'll be interesting for this next video, because that's kind of what I get with this artist. More so about who represents this artist. So Beyonce, I don't know if you guys paid attention to this, but for her Formation tour, she basically took under three performers under her wing as her artist. This being one of them. Her name is Ingrid. The song is called Flex, featuring Seven Streeter. And I'm going to let you watch it before I put my opinion out there. Take a look.
On these niggas, I'm a flex. All my niggas wear crowns. We on higher ground. Can't see none of you niggas. Watch us
smoke it with the windows down. Just like it's legal. Straight chillin', plus I'm sipping crown. I'm in a regal with the tags. That's from out of state. I've been booming since I made that move from out of state. But now I'm back. I'm in that black on black on black on black. I'm parking on the sidewalk and giving niggas daps. Every time I hit the streets, I'm with my real fam. On some ghetto fancy shit, I feel like I'm in Baps. You know we about to
flex. Drive my coupe still around with the windows down. Whipping on these niggas, I'm a flex.
Ingrid featuring Seven Streeter, Flex. All right, before I say what I'm going to say, initial thought of the video and sound.
She dope as fuck.
She's hard.
Oh, shit.
What are you thinking?
I think she's hard.
Me too.
I know a little bit about her. She's dope.
I don't know. Where's she from?
She's from where Beyonce and them are from.
Houston.
She's dope.
Yeah.
I'm right.
So... how you said the execution, it's so funny, but I'm like, as I'm listening to these artists that Beyonce took under her wing, and then I'm listening to the Lemonade album, and I'm starting to hear certain things, I'm like, Beyonce, are these your inspirations?
Yeah. Right,
is this the authentic sound? And then now we're seeing Beyonce's execution of the authentic sound, because that video looked like No Angel. Yeah. It still used the same instruments and stuff like that. So it's just, it's interesting to me. Also, marketing-wise... I wonder, is that good for this Ingrid girl? Or, I mean, obviously it is. The things are, her views, I'm just surprised at how low they are. Because that is freaking dope, artistically, visually.
I think everybody's just so used to everybody being the same and this same sound. Everybody is just like, I don't know.
It's hard for us to switch over to something else?
Yeah, it's like hard, I think, for people to accept artists like Ingrid.
Well, we saw
we'll see.
I just didn't know. I'm going to buy shit as soon as I leave.
Yeah, she's dope as fuck to me.
I'm buying that and that 2088 album. I mean, I think it's just so much you don't know what's out.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's a big problem. Like, I didn't know that shit's out.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? I didn't even know Beyonce did that.
Yeah, so, she has like three artists.
Yeah, I didn't know that. But that song, I'm going to buy that song when I leave here. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys show have really good taste in music. Like, the shit I've heard has all been pretty, really good. Like, it just put me up on two things that I will sleep on. So I just think people don't know what's out. I didn't know it was out.
Oh, that's like, that shit is tight. Why y'all need to tune into Black Hollywood Lives and Beats every week. All right, guys, before we continue on with that, what if today was the last normal day of your life? Cassie Sullivan thought she knew what tomorrow would bring, but she was wrong. We were all wrong. The first wave took our power, killing 500,000 people. The second wave put that number to shame, with tsunamis that destroyed everyone within 100 miles of the ocean. Goodbye, coastal cities. Rick Yancey's number one New York Times bestselling novel, The Fifth Wave, introduces us to a group of young people struggling to survive an aftermath of alien invasions. It sequels The Infinite Sea and a newly released The Last Star, following them through a series of battles and betrayals as they fight the ultimate war between life and death, hope and despair, and love and hate. Entertainment Weekly calls the series remarkable, not to be missed under any circumstances, and urges fans to just read it. The highly anticipated finale is here and will leave readers stunned. Learn more about the Fifth Wave series at fifthwavebooks.com.
So we've been getting a lot of love from London. And so they keep saying, you put on this grime movement. So I still haven't really gotten into it. You know, I'm searching for the right artist to really dive my hands in. It's different for me and what I'm used to, but I'm open to it. So here we are, Asher D featuring Mike Delinquent. And the song is called Fools. So Asher D apparently is super dope. He was in a video that we played last week. One of the YouTubers had commented on it. So let's take a look.
Always winning. My delinquent. I'm watching them chase a dream. Trying to be the guys they wanna be like. But SOS reigns supreme. But really, I started on D-Light. Real OGs created the scenes. So I don't wanna hear about a rewrite. And you could imagine my D-Light. When Mega said I should bless D-Mike. Ask Romeo Dunn. Back then we were like, show me your gun. Mac 10s, we were like, go in your drum. In that sense, we were like, known in your slum. So why try? I'm a good fella, you're a wise guy. The proof's in the pudding, I got the side guy. So forget the pushing and pulling, brother, it's my time. I'm like one of these fools gonna see. I'm like one of these fools gonna. I'm like one of these fools gonna see that I just made a goddamn fool of them. I'm like one of these fools gonna see. I'm like one of these fools gonna. I came up with real OGs, mine now quickly just find a fool on them. I'm like one of these fools gonna see. I'm like one of these fools gonna. I'm
like one of these fools. Asher D, Mike Delinquent, Fools. What y'all thinking? Different sound.
Yeah.
I need to kind of see it. I mean, he sounds good, and the music kind of, this is all correct. I need to see what it is because I don't know if it's like, is that street or is that dance? But I mean, everything sound cool. I mean, I just need to see
is that mainstream pop for them over there or?
Yeah, like I don't know if it's underground, is it the club? Yeah. Like it's like when you listen to Yeezus. Like, you know, like when I first heard Yeezus, it was like, I was in the car and it didn't work, but when I was in the gym, it was like insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just kind of need to be. I think music, you should be in like perspective when you're hearing it.
Absolutely.
Like it might be for a time and space.
Yeah.
It's tight. I mean, he could rap. He was getting off that beat fast. So anybody that could rap and still say something over that type of tempo and it had a good melody, like I know the melody. I need to go there and see what it's like. I'm make sure I make a trip.
Right, I'm trying to get over there.
Yeah, I'm going
to
go check that out.
His vocals were very, it kind of goes with what we're listening to over here as far as that whole dance hall vibe. But then it's just, for me personally, it's that, like, I can't, you know what I mean? Like, I'm an 80s baby, so, like, for me personally, like, just, if this was Shark Tank, I would pass. But vocally, he's dope.
Yeah,
There's a couple little ting-tings in the song that just, from my personal taste, yeah, I can't.
I just need to see. If I could see if that's the street, like, it just looked like somebody should have been dancing to it. And I didn't see nobody dancing, but I can go over there and it could be gangster rap. He sound good, though, to me.
It is. So grime basically started out as underground kind of movement, and now it's starting to gain this popular media in London. So I guess the... What would I compare it to? I mean, really, I mean, I guess it would be like how trap music here, how it started, gotcha. And then now it's become in all the clubs, and like, I guess that's kind of the best way to compare it to. But fuck all that! Let's talk about this one. So Glasses, this video is freaking dope. Like, all right, so you produced the track.
Concept, yeah, the
so,
concept.
For the concept for the video.
Yeah.
So, nice. Okay. Well, I guess let's just fucking play the video because I'm going to talk about it all before we even show it. It's dope as fuck. So it's called Knock It Out featuring B.O.B., one of my favorites. Take a look. Snapchat filter.
I'm going to knock it out. New purse for my D5. Depot, change tuck when I come around. We don't fuck around with the fuck around. Hershey got the sucky, sucky crown. All shucky ducky now. 12 round, but girl, you might quit. All I do is win, so you know the fight fits. Like that? Nah, it's like this. Beat it up, nah, I'ma knock it out. I'ma knock it out.
Glasses Malone featuring B.O.B., Knock It Out. Okay, wait, so I know it. It's in my head. It's at the top of my tongue. What is that from?
Everybody in hip-hop gonna recognize it from LL Cool J.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it's really A Trip to Your Heart from Sly and the Family Stone.
Okay, because I'm just sitting here like, thank you. Yeah. All right, shout out to Fresh Prince, though.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, because that was like a really... big thing for me in that video.
Why?
Yeah, it's really, really, really dope.
Why did you want to, you know, really focus on that and kind of do like a little tribute to?
People really be giving Will a lot of shit. I don't like that. Like, I fuck with Will. And I just felt like it was a lot of people saying Will used to be corny. I'm like, I don't recall that nigga. Yeah. That nigga was cool as shit when I was a kid. So if a gangster, you know what I mean, if a gang member from Watts could tribute, honor to Will Smith. Hopefully people understand that, man. You might have missed something. Mm. Will is like the coolest. Fresh Prince and Jazzy Jeff. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
it is. It's the truth. So I just did it. It was that. And me and Bob, like I said, is our personality. He's another guy that's a top five guy that don't really get a lot
he's
of credit.
Really, really, really dope.
But I feel like that could bring us kind of together in that type of fun environment for hip hop. So the video, I thought the video came out cool. I liked it.
Yeah,
it came out good. It was one of my better videos.
That video was awesome. First of all, who did the animation for that video?
The wall is crazy.
So shout out to Udo, my boy from AZ.
Udo.
Udo, yeah, he's a super dope artist. He's like the team's artist. So he freehand that all the day before.
That's on your
So we stayed
that's
there
really
the whole day freehanding it. Just crazy. He freehanded. So he's like so nasty. And the animation, shout out to Ali who directed in Zeus. You know what I mean? Zeus is like the nastiest person. He made the whole vision come to true. And
like the little B.O.B. with the Snapchat rainbow and then like her butt, like just all that stuff is dope.
Yeah. Oh, Zeus, man. Really, 100 really to Zeus, man. AZ Films, man. He just was like, yo, we going to take it to the next level. We going to animate it. And I was like, yeah, I want to see. And he did it. And I was like, yeah. I get it.
And it was just even more like just to throw B.O.B. on the track.
Yeah. He left it, dog. He fucked it up. His verse is so much better than mine. Bob is so fucking dope, man.
Yeah, he really
Why did you want him for this specific track? Or how did he get involved with this?
Well, we talked about doing music. I mean, I have records with probably mostly everybody in the industry. But sometimes when I meet someone, like I might, like we might talk and it might be of respect. Like I always respected Bob and we obviously he respected me. But it was just never having the right song. I've been knowing Drake for this whole time. Like I haven't made the right song. So I won't Like, I have to make a song for us to collab. And when I made it, it's things in the song that say Atlanta, mm-hmm. and I knew he could do it, and he just mm-hmm. really exceeded at the yeah. opportunity. And it was just like shooting a video. Shout out to him. Shout out to TJ. Shout out to Walter and everybody over there. I had no genre, but it was dope. He just killed it, and the video was just, it was fun. It was the first time I had fun. Mm-hmm. Huh. You know what I'm saying? It was just a good time, yeah. and it was fun to watch it.
But that's so interesting to me. You've been in this industry for a long time, and, you know, looking at the labels you turned down, I'm like, well, okay, class, yeah. damn, bro. All right.
You know what's funny, you know, man? It's crazy. It's been a long journey with this, man. I don't ever think I was supposed to be a rapper like that. I think I said it a lot of times. I think I can rap, but I'm more like, I'm good at what I do, which is produce ideas. So it can work for me as an artist, but like what I'm doing for my new label deal that's coming into fruition now is going to be much different.
Yeah.
And I don't know, man. It's just, I like making shit.
I want to ask you a random question. Like, this is just a conscious conversation right here. In 5 years from now, Glasses Malone, where do you see yourself elevating to, as far as, like, doesn't have to be musically, just you as a person? Where do you see yourself in 5 years now doing this stuff, you know, opening your ears up and mm-hmm. producing the music, opening your vision up and, you know, having fun on set? Exploring. Like that. So where do you see, now that you've kind of said, you know what, maybe I'm not just a rapper to put myself in this box, I want to produce, I want to create, you're working on these films, where do you see yourself in 5 years kind of going from here? Where do you want to see yourself?
I just, musically, my only goal is to be a part of the next Thriller.
Okay.
Like, whatever that is. To be, you know, instrumental, to be a part of the next Thriller album, the next album that's gonna, like, crush the world. Mm. I don't know who the artist is going to be. I don't even know the situation. But to being a part of the next Thriller by that time, or right on the verge of somebody not knowing that Thriller is gonna come out again. Personally, as an artist, my only goal is to get a gold plaque. That's it. You know, I've never had a goal when I came into the business. I was just happy not to have to sell Sherm every day.
Yeah.
It was like, cool. I was grateful to God that I didn't have to slang every day. But as far as everything else, I just came up with a goal a year ago. You know, like, okay, well, you know what? I want a gold plaque, at least one, for a song. And musically, it's just to be a part of the next Thriller. So everything I do, no matter how successful it looks over the next 5 years, the success is being a part of the next Thriller. Even if I produce two songs on there, or if I A&R part of it or something, but being a part of the next album that's going to, like, destroy the world. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
who are your top five? Well, I mean, it don't got to be five, but who are your top artists, like, that you're seeing out of this mix of mediocreness, mm-hmm. kind of rising above the rest? I mean, you've already said Big Sean, so.
Honestly, J-Rock. J-Rock is the artist to me that I could see being somebody who outdoes every last person in hip-hop right now. I think what he has to offer, okay. The world just hasn't seen it yet. I mean, everybody's seen J-Rock early and kind of seen him, you know, he was 18 or 19 years old, fresh out the project, yeah. So really you 15. And you seen Kendrick's rise. And so everybody's looking at that, but it's like when J-Rock finally comes to fruition and the right producer links up with him and gives him what he needs, then you probably gonna see, like, an improved version of what DMX was in his prime.
Mm.
That's what I believe.
We talk about timing a lot. We talk about it a lot.
All the time.
What is something for you, kind of, just to put out there into the world, people watching, you know, as artists, we go through these moments of, you know, why am I doing this? Why am I still doing this? Oh, shit, wait, yeah, I'm still doing this. And you kind of leave that passion and you kind of forget the purpose at certain times. What, for you, kind of keeps you grounded and always kind of looking forward?
That's a nice question.
It wasn't my passion at first. It became something that Dre told me I should do, Dr. Dre, and I just did it. As I started learning music, I learned how to play the bass and I learned everything about music, it became like, oh, this is what I'm in.
Yeah.
I did an interview with The Breakfast Club a couple months ago and I was expressing to him, like, man, like, I didn't know what was going on. Even when I was signing Cash Money, everybody made a big deal because that's how I spent my label career at Cash Money. But the real thing was I was signed to Motown. Mm. Like, we look at what Birdman and Lil Wayne and Juvenile and Drake and Nicki, but no, the big logo was Motown. It's like the most successful label of all time. And, like, to be a part of that, and I didn't even pay attention. Yeah. That shit was like...
What do you mean by that? You didn't pay attention. Like, you're more focused on, because we're in this age of the flash, you're more focused on the Young Money kind of?
Well, I think at that, I really didn't give a fuck about none of that.
Okay.
I was me, like, walking in the door. I was glasses low my whole life.
But this is real conversation right here, because I think everyone goes through what you're talking about. Yeah, so yeah. Please keep expanding.
I was glasses forever. I didn't even really trip off being a part of Cash Money. I was so happy with what I was doing with my own personal movement. And Baby loved me for it. Birdman loved me for it. And, you know, but even when I was signed to Cash Money and everyone was raving, like, oh, man, I can't believe you have this song with Lil Wayne, or you have Cash Money. You Cash Money. You're not saying it enough. And I'm like, yeah, that's dope. Cash. I mean, I like Juvenile and Big Thomas, too. But I think the whole thing that got washed was the fact that I was a part of Motown.
Yeah.
And when I finally took the time in 2013, when I left the label, it was right when I put out That Good. That was the first song I released when I left the label around 2013. And I finally started learning music, and I was able to look at what Motown represented. And I was like, oh, that shit. I was looking at my vinyl. I was like, it says Motown. I was like, oh, I'm supposed to be here. And then as I start learning music, at that point, it starts becoming a competitive nature and even paying respect, like, as a black musician to be a part of Motown. You feel me? Like, that's on my fucking vinyl. Mm-hmm. And then you start looking at what Berry Gordy did with Smokey Robinson, the Temptations, all the way to Rick James, all the way to Boyz II Men, all the way, it just keep going, and you like, damn it, you don't have a choice but to step your shit up. And at that point, that's what starts driving your passion, the desire to be great at music. Some of the homies sell sweaters. Some of the homies sell all kind of shit. Everybody selling video games. Mm-hmm. Niggas got reality shows. Niggas got everything. But how could you be in this business and not want to make a record as great as My Girl?
Yeah.
You gonna make me throw my bottle.
Speak today. Feel
me?
So it's like, that's what began the challenge. And that's where the passion really came from. Because prior to this, it was just drag racing for me. But when I finally started learning what this was and what this could be, man, it became like, yeah, nothing else don't matter. Not even the money. Like, I stopped doing shows for people. Like, I barely do a show because it's like, yo, I need to get a song that's going to make a difference in somebody's life. Like, That Good was my first one. People, they felt they can have a good time to that. Initially, I was an artist. I just wanted to express the pain I went through for 10 years. You know, selling sherm, losing friends, getting shot at, shooting people, going to jail. All that, and that's what my whole early music career was about. But when I finally understood as a musician what my responsibilities was, that's what drove my passion personally.
Responsibilities really as an artist.
It's crazy, man.
Appreciate that. I appreciate you.
Man, I'm grateful I'm still here, man, because I could have missed it. I could have been out this shit, back selling sherm, and like, fuck it. I made some money, I bought some houses, I got some cars, but it ain't about that, man. It's like, man, the shit you a part of.
God's not done with you. God has... He needs you to connect those wires.
So some shit, you know, and you start... Like I said, man, when you see these, man, you look at this, like And I wish, you know, they should be able to play the dramatics, the live Soul Train performance of the dramatic song, What You See Is What You Get, you know, or Marvin Gaye doing his rehearsal of I Want You live, and they just recorded the whole rehearsal. He's laying on the couch, like, blowing these insane notes. And then you hear somebody sing today, and they barely could sing. And you looking at this nigga laying down, and he's, like, destroying every nigga today. It's like, that's when you be like, oh, you know what? I can't even look at today. I can't even compete with none of the niggas that I like. I have to only compete, as a rapper, I have to compete with Tupac, Jay-Z, Eminem, just the greatest. Great. And that's the goal. You
know? Studying the greats.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, okay, before we wrap up, so we have Glass good. House 2. That was like, I can't good. Wait to cut that clip.
Nah, it's true.
Glass House 2. how long are we riding with this this movement of Glass House 2? And then what, are you already working on other stuff? I mean, how do you work as far as, like, these individual projects? Because I know as a creative, visually, you have to kind of sit in Glass House to be able to play with what you have there.
And I'm trying to just figure out how I can be a part.
Yeah, we're going to have to play some Sia Moon for you out there.
Yeah. Glass House is just like the zone, you feel me? Like, so I'm not, it's too many great, I can't even walk away from it. Like, it's available now because it's really good.
Yeah.
Like, it ain't about, I'm not trying to change your life, and I'm not trying to inform you of everything going on. This is just something that feels really good, and I made it to feel really, really good. So when I even, initially when you play Two Hood at the beginning of the show, I could smile, and that was the whole purpose of making the song. When you in your car, you used to be like, it give you like rays of sunshine. Mm-hmm. So I gotta stay with Glass House. That's why I shot this one. I'm gonna shoot the After Hours video with Dom Kennedy. I'm just really working on getting the visuals to match the songs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna re-release it. Like I did this one, the Glass House 2, available everywhere. Kendrick on it, Game on it, Kirko Bangs, Dom.
Crazy.
Tyga. So many dope people.
But so re-release it with other extra tracks?
Well, I'm going to re-release it with a whole bonus CD.
Nice.
And it's all OGs. Warren G, Snoop Dogg.
Ooh, that's going to be crazy.
Warren G, Snoop Dogg, Be Real, J.O. Felony, Masterpiece Silk. Just all these OGs, this legends, just so I can make sure I pay homage all around the game. Because that's what Glass House 2 is really about. If you really listen to it, it's a homage to Bad Boy, Death Row, just a lot of the greater producers and music that I really like. So I made stuff that was like, yeah, you could, it should create that same nostalgia, but yet with today's feel.
Yeah.
Yo, like, just your story's crazy. Yeah, like, here you are, superstar. Then it's like, okay, wait a minute. Is this really for me? Elevate myself by letting go. And then as you let go, you lift up. And here you are, looking back at the Motown, understanding your lessons and turning them into blessings. Like, that's freaking dope.
You know, man, if I wish they could show that Marvin Gaye video where he's fucking laying on that couch, man. I Want You, and he's just, it's like a live rehearsal of I Want You. Or Barry White at the Soul Train, the only person to perform without lip syncing. Or even the Dramatics, like I said, what you see when they're performing together and how they in sync. They got these suits on and they wearing these sneakers, but the way they sound, the way they move, and it's like you can see so much went into that. And it's like, if I'm not going to mix this song seven times, all I had to do was mix my song seven times. So it's so much to chase. It's so much to be great, and I can't look at nothing else but them. It's just the truth, man. You just stuck. I mean, once you fuck with it, Dre used to always tell me, man, he's like, when you start doing this the right way, you will never know what time it is. Like, I'll be working and I won't even know what time it is.
You have to remind yourself to eat.
All the time, man. Like, it's so crazy. Like I said, money becomes not even the object.
Yeah.
Because you start, I wasted way more money making this project than I've made at this point from this project.
And you don't even care.
It don't even matter, because when I listen to Two Hood in this earphone, that shit, all the money spent clearing it, all the money spent mixing it, man, it was worth it, because somebody is going to hear that song and be like, this song is the shit. And I hear it and I'll be like, yeah, I would listen to that.
Boom. Yo, we got to wrap up, but Glass, you got to come through again.
Thank you, man.
For sure. Yeah. We want to thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you guys check it out. Glass House 2 available on iTunes.
Everywhere.
Tyler,
whatever.
Boom. You guys can see it. What you got on iTunes right now?
Runaway still on iTunes. Check that out. And Flowers video.
And they can catch you where?
Instagram, Twitter, everywhere at Sia Amun, S-I-A-A-M-U-N.
Glasses, what's your website?
I'm Googleable.
Just Google him, which is so true, because all this shit come right up at the top.
Because if I tell you, I don't got to say, I wasn't that savvy with the marketing. The same name. I was like, Instagram, Glasses Low. Nigga, I'm on.
Right.
And then at Gmail also. Just Google me.
Boom. Thank you guys for tuning in. Hit me up everywhere at DJ Jesse J. Also follow us at BHL Online and follow The Beat at BHL The Beat, Twitter, Instagram, all across the board. Mr. Carter, you're running the social media. Carter, where can they catch you?
Mr. Carter.
Boom. All right, y'all. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
From executives. Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Music Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.